Gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday. It's the 20th day of January 2016 in the year of our Lord. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in snowy, cold, the tundra, that is, northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on our home base. That's the Global Star Radio Network, the place to be. And folks, we're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can watch us live on YouTube as well. You can see us right there. Right? I can see us. You can see us, too. We can see you, too. Anyway, links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found at our home base on the Internet at HagmanandHagman.com. Two N's, one G, one H, no spaces, the word and. You got it. You know. And folks, we also have two other websites, actually three, but here's the deal. HagmanReport.com, articles, information, news items, kind of like an aggregate of news articles that contributors write for and we contribute to. And then, of course, HomelandSecurityUS.com, and that's kind of my corner that's being developed now. And the Christian Marketplace. Let me tell you something, folks. The Christian Marketplace, I want to thank you for everyone who's hung in there with us and looked at it and kind of cocked their head and said, what is this? What is this? And we're confused. You know, we are really attempting to create an environment, a Christian-friendly environment for vendors and for customers. That's what we're trying to do. And you know, some of you have really hung with us and said, yeah, that's a great idea. Others have said, well, you know, get back to me when you have your act together. Well, that time is approaching very quickly. And I'm so thankful for that. Folks, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. And we do dig deep into topics that the corporate Illuminati-controlled mass media won't, never will. We look beyond the veil of the misinformation and disinformation to bring you the latest, the most important information out there that will affect your well-being, your status. And we want to thank all of the new listeners, each and every one of you. Thank you for your support, your prayers, your kindness, your emails, your suggestions. And you know, we do take suggestions very, very seriously. And it's really great to get those as well. And I just want to give a kind of a nod to Sadie out there. You know who I'm talking about. It's one of our very special friends, Sadie. We're praying for you. And your handlers can tell you that we're praying for you. If you haven't guessed, it's a family dog, Sadie. Of a very, very kind listeners. So anyway, yeah, I know that sounds like, wow, what, you know, gee, really? Well, I'll tell you what, you know, dogs are people too, right? No. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. Before we get into the show, a couple of things. First of all, I do want to make mention that portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by nuts.com. That's nuts.com. Have you gone there? Have you gone there? Oh, I hope you have. I really do. If you go to nuts.com, click on the microphone box there and put in our code HH. New customers, folks, if you haven't ordered yet, you will receive with your order $15 worth, four free samples of out of over 50 options there. That's nuts.com. And Oh man, they've got the greatest snacks, nuts, pistachios. I guess that would be a nut, right? And the owner, it's a family-owned business, and it's really just, it's a great business, and it's a great fun website to go to. And if I may too, I just want to give a shout out to WholeTonesLive.com. Yeah, they're, oh, I'll tell you something. If you feel stressed, if you feel, you know, how many people right, you know, today feel stressed and under the gun? And boy, I'm right there with everybody. If you're sick and tired of being stressed and overwhelmed and even unmotivated sometimes you just, you know, you wake up and you think, man, do I really want to get out of bed? Well, if you're sleeping in a Casper mattress, of course, maybe you don't. But anyway, you know, if you feel like life is running you instead of you running your life, you're not alone. You can experience really the powers, the scientific proven powers of music therapy with WholeTonesLive.com. Folks, they have a collection of proven music therapy that can help reduce your stress, ease your mind, and even motivate you. And boy, some need to get motivated, right? You can get started today and listen to a free sample of this amazing music that heals and inspires at WholeTonesLive.com. Go to WholeTonesLive.com. More on WholeTonesLive later, and, of course, Nuts.com later. Now, tonight, folks, how many people, I want to ask you this question, how many people have heard of Dimitri Dudeman? Oh, I'm sure that name, you've heard it, especially if you're one of the members of the large, vast Christian audience that we have. I'm sure you know who Dimitri Dudeman is, or was. Of course, he passed away. But now my next question is, have you visited the Hand of Help Ministries lately? Do you know who's carrying the torch of Dimitri Dudeman, and by his own right, Michael Boldea? Do you know him? Folks, we're going to be interviewing tonight a gentleman that I know Steve Quayle thinks a lot of. I think a lot of Pastor Langford thinks a lot. I mean, and I don't want to speak for anyone else, but I'll just say this. The ministry of Dimitri Dudeman lives on through Michael Boldea, his grandson and translator. I'm going to kick it over to Joe to bring him on and to go forward.
Yeah, again, we are joined by Michael Boldea. The website is handofhelp.com. That's handofhelp.com. Mr. Boldea will be at the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, Texas with us March 18th through the 20th. And as my father said, he was the grandson of Dimitri Dudeman and was also the interpreter. Mr. Boldea, it's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I've heard a lot about you guys. This is the first time we get to talk. Ran into Steve in Florida, so I do know Steve Quayle, a good guy. Love his son, Tyler. But it's good to talk to you guys. Again, I've heard a lot about you, and hopefully we'll have a productive evening and get to talk about Jesus.
There you go.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and isn't, you know what? Can I call you Michael?
Yes, sir.
Okay? All right.
That's fine.
I was talking with Steve Quayle yesterday. It was yesterday morning, and it was a kind of a lengthy conversation. And you know what he said to me? He said in many conversations, in many of the conversations that he has had of late, and many of the issues that he's been involved in of late, he said, "You know what was? You know what's been missing?" And he said, "Jesus." He's not talked about. Our Lord and Savior is not a part of the conversation, and that's really frightening, especially in today's environment and the prophetic events that we see taking place. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
The world to a certain extent has succeeded in shaming Christians into silence. And that troubles me more than I can put into words. Because, you know, Jesus said during the last days, men will hate you for my name's sake. And it has come to that. We have the most awkward of individuals, the most just strangest of bedfellows coming together against the church, against the people of God, against Christians and Christianity. And rather than stand boldly for the name of Christ as we ought, rather than stand boldly for the name Jesus as we ought, we're cowering in the corner as though we're fearful of the world. And you have people who choose silence on one end of the spectrum, and then you have the others who are willing to lick the boots of anyone that'll show them any attention, pimping themselves out to the world for baubles and fame. So the path is narrow, and in the middle are those that still cling to Christ, and I believe that the day is here. It's not approaching anymore. I mean, back during the 80s, my grandfather spoke a very unpopular message that we're beginning to see come to pass today. I traveled with the man for 10 years. I know the things God showed him. I believe to this day that he is or was a man of God. He was a prophet of God, and God showed him these things. And, you know, to a certain extent, I've been in ministry since I was 12 years old. On the day that I'm flying out to Dallas to do this conference, I'll be turning 41. So I've been in ministry for most of my life. And the thing that I haven't seen until recently is the utter silencing of the people of God. We've been shamed into silence. Jesus isn't preached from the pulpits anymore, and we're wondering why the world's going to hell in a handbasket. We're wondering why things are going from bad to worse. We're wondering why the darkness seems to be encroaching upon anything that's sacrosanct. Well, because the church is silent, because the church has lost its light, because we choose to avoid confrontation even at the sake of betraying Christ. And I know I sound passionate about this because I am. I'm a Jesus guy. You know, first and foremost, I'm a Jesus guy. Anyone that knew my grandfather intimately knew that he was a Jesus guy too. The message for America was what God showed him, and it was a message of repentance, not judgment. First and foremost, it was a message of repentance. And a lot of people go, well, how does it feel having done all this? I feel like a failure, to be honest with you, because America has not repented. We're seeing this. We're seeing judgment on the horizon. And we're seeing that the church is asleep. It is indifferent. It is lethargic. It's focusing on the wrong things. I mean, when you're actually putting up billboards announcing that you're going to be talking about intimacy in the bedroom for the next 52 weeks, rather than talking about the sovereignty of Christ, rather than talking about the authority of the believer, rather than talking about the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today, there is something wrong in you calling yourself a church. You know, we see it. I live in a place that's, you know, supposed to be pretty tame. You know, I live in Wisconsin, of all places, and I live in a small town, less than 25,000 people, and I look at the advertisements the church are putting up, and not one of them mentions Jesus on their billboard. You know, it's either how to work your finances the biblical way, it's something having to do with spirituality, but not outright with Jesus. It's something having to do with how going to church will make your physical life better, but not how repentance is necessary for you to be reconciled unto God. So, you know, I'm sorry. Again, go ahead. I apologize for interrupting, but I get excited.
You know, no apology necessary. And I love it when a guest is passionate. We love it, Joe, and I love it when a guest is passionate. And you have reason to be passionate. You have, you've got really messages, multiple messages to provide to the Christians out there and to even the non-Christians and just to the listeners. And you know, we're going to give you a lot of latitude, as much latitude as you want, because, you know, a spirit-led conversation can be in part a spirit-led dissertation, and that's what I want you to feel free to do. We want you to feel free to do, give you that latitude. But before we go too far, can you speak of? I mean, we've gotten a couple of since we put up the article announcement of your appearance. What was you had mentioned your relationship with your grandfather, but can you tell us a little bit, give us a little background as to you know, what, give us a little bit of background between you and your grandfather and, you know, what you saw, right, if you don't mind, if that's okay.
That's perfectly fine. I respected the man because he was the same behind the pulpit as he was at home. That in a nutshell was my grandfather. He was a simple man. He detested being honored. He detested being lifted up. He was a man that insisted all honor go to Christ. And I try to model my life after that because I saw the wisdom in it. Because the higher you lift someone in today's day and age, the further they have to fall. We build up our idols just to see them come crashing to the ground because it makes us feel better about ourselves. So that was one of the things that I appreciated about my grandpa. My grandpa was my best friend growing up. My dad worked all the time. We came to this country when I was 9 years old. None of us spoke the language. My mother began cleaning homes, around the community in California where we used to live. My dad had a full-time job, so I hung out with my grandpa. And even before that, in Romania, he's the one that taught me how to swim. He's the one that taught me how to fish. He's the one that built me my first slingshot. So I had a very special relationship with my grandfather. That notwithstanding, if I'd seen any sort of hypocrisy in his life, I don't think I'd be here today. Because I'm not one of the... Let me back up a little bit. If you preach the truth in today's day and age, you're not going to be what the world might deem a successful ministry. So I'm not in ministry for the sake of money. This is not a profitable endeavor, preaching the truth. I consider myself intelligent enough to come up with some Joel Osteen-isms, but I choose not to because I see the emptiness and the vapid futility of what he teaches. So I choose to cling to the truth, and that is not profitable in the eyes of the world. So if I'd seen that there was any inconsistency or any incongruity between what he preached and what he lived, I would have been out of there, in a heartbeat, because I gave up my childhood, I gave up my teenage years to travel with my grandfather, and he was sickly most of the time. He'd been persecuted. He was tortured. He was put on the electric chair. He was a Bible smuggler. And I know in today's day and age where everything's offensive and we're easily chagrined that everything everybody says, oh my gosh, he was a Bible smuggler. That's breaking the law. And it goes to show just how foolish our mindset has gotten in this westernized culture where everything is glut and excess and hedonism and flesh. We persecute the men that came before us whose shoes we will never fill because they smuggled Bibles and it was against the law. It was a communist system. It was against the law to be a Christian. It was against the law to pray. It was against the law to actually possess a Bible in Romania. And this is apparently what we want in this country because a cryptic... a mummified communist is running for president and he's actually just gaining steam in this country. And I'm flabbergasted because if you talk to anybody that's lived under communism or socialism, if you want to, be dainty about it, will tell you how horrific it is. They will tell you that once socialism gets its claws into the people, once socialism takes over, all they want is to be the only ones people have hope in. And so the reason that communism so fought against Christianity and Christians back in the communist days of Romania wasn't because they hated God. I mean, Marx did, and he had a lot of writings about God and how God was supposed to be antithetical to Marxism. But the reason that the communists fought Christianity so hard in places like Russia and in Romania was because God gives hope. And the worst thing that a socialist system or a communist system can have is people hoping in something other than it. We were indoctrinated from when I started going to kindergarten. They'd tell us that the motherland will provide everything. This is your mother. This is your father. There is no God. And I'd go home and go through detox with my grandpa for another 4 hours. There is a God, and this is his word. And we'd start to pray, and it was beautiful. It was one of these back-and-forth things, but because I saw the practical living out of my grandfather's faith, my mother's faith, my father's faith, my grandmother's faith, I found Jesus at a very early age. And I surrendered my life to him, and I'm one of those dangerous Christians that believes God and his word. I'm one of those dangerous Christians that will go to the utmost for the sake of Christ and will defend him to the death. Because I don't think that there was ever a time for mealy-mouthed, spineless Christians. But today is certainly not a time for mealy-mouthed, spineless Christians. And I know the old saying, well, Jesus is big enough to defend himself. I'm sorry, that's a cop-out. That's cowardice on its face. We're supposed to defend the name of Christ. We're supposed to defend the gospel of Christ. We're supposed to be the light in the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be those people that call out sin and say, this is wrong. I don't care about political correctness. I don't care about your idea of tolerance. I don't care how you define diversity. This is perverted and it's wrong, period. And none of us have the temerity to say it, at least those that are in spiritual leadership in this country. You know, somebody actually, you know, has a bad dream and wakes up and has the strength of character to say something, and then the next day they apologize for it because of the pressure that's brought upon them. Look, we need to stop apologizing for the truth. But again, I get sidetracked. Back to my grandpa. He was grandpa. To me, he was grandpa. To a lot of people, he was a prophet. To a lot of people, he was a man of God. He was those things to me as well. But first and foremost, he was grandpa. And I think that God allowed him to go through all the suffering that he went through. And the man suffered beyond anything that I can imagine. I mean, he couldn't even make a fist because they'd broken his fingers so many times. It was just crooked. He couldn't even hold a fork or a spoon right. The things that he went through were utterly horrific, but God seasoned him through that so that he would have the strength of character to stand before thousands of people and say, judgment is coming to your nation if you do not repent. And because he had such a powerful testimony, people actually stood up and took note. People actually listened. People responded. People repented. People fell on their faces before God and came before him in sackcloth and ash. Not a majority by any means, but God is not a collective. God doesn't save collectively. He saves individuals. So I praise God for every soul that sees the need for repentance even today. I praise God for every soul that sees the need for a relationship with Christ and not just some sort of, I don't know, fire insurance that they think they get because they give 10% of their money to some church or another. You know, Jesus is about relationship. Serving God is about serving Him every day of our lives, not just on Sunday morning or by giving a faith seed, because I love these new terms that we come up with, just the idiocy of it all. But, you know, again, Grandpa was one of those, you know, shoot from the hip guys that had the Word of God at his foundation. He says, you know, if you're going to dispute what I say, dispute it biblically. If you have an issue with the things I say, dispute them biblically. And nobody could. Because the reality of the situation is that God judges sin. And up until this point, God has been merciful because what he's been doing he's been warning this nation. But I think the warnings have ended and judgment's going to begin. And once judgment comes, there no longer remains any room for mercy. This is what a lot of people today don't seem to grasp in the church. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. There is such an ignorance regarding the end times, regarding prophecy, regarding the things that God has shown His people, because I do believe that God still speaks to His people. I do believe that God still uses dreams and visions and prophecy as revelatory tools to warn His children of what is to come, as well as guide and direct and instruct and even rebuke individuals and nations alike. Look, it was never God's intent to keep us in the dark. One of the most laughable things I've heard, and this was from a TV evangelist. Well, God's just as in the dark as we are about tomorrow. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And I'm sitting there wondering how much it's going to cost to replace the hotel television if I threw a Coke can at it. You know? What kind of fool are you to believe that God doesn't know the end from the beginning? You know, it was never his intent to keep his children in the dark. The world is supposed to be in the dark. The world is supposed to be fearful about tomorrow. The world is supposed to be uncertain. The world is supposed to be unhinged. Not the children of God. We are not supposed to be ignorant. We are sons and daughters of God, and we need to start acting like it. I will not kowtow to the world. I will not bow before the world. I'm a son of God. I don't need their approval, they need mine. And this is the mindset that we need to have as children of God. We need to stop cowering in the corner and actually stand up and be bold in the things that we believe in. God knows the end from the beginning. This is a most amazing revelation for His children. And as hard as it might be for some to wrap their minds around, God is outside the realm of time and space. He's not constrained by it. God's not surprised by tomorrow or by what will occur 5 years from now. He already knows. He's seen it play out, and when he so chooses, he warns his children for the specific purpose of having them draw nearer to him and solidify their relationship with him. See, there is a purpose to prophecy. There is a purpose to revelation, and it's not to lift up a man, and it's not to give a man a ministry, and it's not to grow somebody's, you know, I guess, support base is the word that we like to use in today's Christian parlance. You know, it's to warn his children that they steady themselves, they steady their hearts, they solidify their relationship, that they steel and cement themselves in Christ, because only in Christ and through Christ will we weather the storm that is coming.
You know, God. Amen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean to take you off of your just wondrous soliloquy here, but if I can ask a question, because you had mentioned about God does not keep us in the dark and he does speak to people, and I believe that. I really believe that there are people out there who are receiving downloads or information from God through dreams and visions. But here's my question. And by the way, I truly believe that your grandfather really was. I mean, he lived the life. He smuggled Bibles. He was tortured by the communists. It was just his life is incredible. And folks, you can read about this at handofhelp.com. But my question to you, and maybe this is on the minds of so many people listening to this, how do you know? For example, there are thousands, maybe tens of thousands. Anyone with a GoPro and a microphone and a YouTube account can get on there and say, "I heard from God today," or you know, I had this dream or vision. My question is, how do you know the?
And that's the rub of it, isn't it?
I know. Yeah.
Because I encourage every believer to be the most skeptical individual on the planet. All right? Because people have realized something in today's day and age. They realize that it's one thing to hear a message from a guy named Bob. It's quite another to hear a message from a guy named Prophet Bob. So the title gives, you know, the title itself gives men authority they would otherwise not possess. And for many, it's tempting to throw a title in front of their name just to make people listen to them more. The way to know is, look, again, I'm a skeptical sort of cat. I don't believe everything I hear because I've been in ministry long enough to know that a large portion of what I hear is gut feelings, is educated guesses, and one of the surest ways that you can know something's fishy is if a prophetic word, and I'm using quotations even if you can't see me, is trying to compete with CNN for the breaking news. God warns his people ahead of time, and he does so early enough wherein it seems improbable, illogical, and even impossible that such things would happen. Back in 1984, when my grandfather received what he received for America, and when I started traveling with him, in 1989. But, you know, he was talking about communists causing a revolution in America, and people would look at him as though he had a tinfoil hat on and he was seeing aliens. They didn't understand it. Well, now we're seeing a resurgence of communism. We're seeing a most divided nation. We're seeing that it's only going to take one lit match to set this fuse ablaze. And we're seeing that everything is coming together prophetically. This was back in 1984. Be skeptical. The Word of God says, test all things. If somebody is too insistent on the fact that they're a prophet, that's, to me, that's a warning sign. If someone tries to praise themselves and bring attention to themselves, that's another sign. I actually did a radio program a few weeks ago, and I entitled it The Seven Cardinal Rules of the Prophetic. There are rules, and one of the most important rules for those people that believe God spoke to them is that they not editorialize. Don't add anything to it, don't take anything away from it. That is, to me, the golden rule of prophecy. Don't take it upon yourself to editorialize. Don't take it upon yourself to clarify. Don't take it upon yourself to expound. Don't take it upon yourself to make clear something that God did not. And a lot of people are tempted to do that. If God shows you something that is confusing to you, don't try to clarify it in your mind. This is all you are is a reporter. You report what you saw. You don't try to bring attention to yourself. You don't try to highlight yourself. You don't try to make yourself so important as though God could only use you. Don't melodramatize was another rule. The fact that God spoke through His Holy Spirit to you concerning something is dramatic enough. Some people have a flair for the dramatic, and they do the pregnant pauses, and they do the whole hand gesture thing. And I'm like, look, just speak the words. If the words are from God, it's God who will anoint the words, and the words will take root in people's heart, and it will stir them to repentance. If any prophetic word does not have repentance and the turning towards Christ as its final purpose, as its goal, as its target, then again, something is fishy. Look, we're not supposed to just swallow anything and everything, because the Word of God warns us repeatedly throughout. Even Jesus Himself said, in the last days, false prophets will come. There will be many false prophets, and they will deceive many. Because right now, there is a glut of YouTube prophets out there, and everyone's got their own little community, and everyone's got their own little niche. And right now, we're having this war of words. I'm not engaged in it, but I hear others are. You know, who's the most watching of the watchmen, and who's the most prophetic of the prophets? You know, I'm sorry if you're in that, if your mindset is about defending yourself personally, if your mindset is about lifting yourself up personally, then the least you need to do is take a step back, search your heart, repent, and make sure that the reason you're doing what you're doing is still for Christ, and it's still for the kingdom of God. Because if your intent is not the kingdom of God, then even if you have the biggest ministry of the world, it's all for naught. You know, another rule is don't personalize. It's not about you. It's never about you. It's about the message. And this is one of the things that I learned from my grandfather. He never highlighted himself. He said, this is what I saw. This is what the angel of the Lord showed me. Take it or leave it. You know, once you deliver a message, your duty before God is done. Your hands are clean. You know, it becomes the responsibility of the hearer to do with the message what they will. You know, God could just as easily have given the message to someone else. He could just have easily delivered it by any other means. So don't make it about you. It wasn't so you could seek out the spotlight or make some money off of it or somehow build your kingdom on earth around this message that God gave you. Everything that God has given our ministry is freely available on our website. The only reason that things are in book form is because people asked for it because they wanted to pass it out. So sure, we put it in book form. But everything that we've ever received, prophetically speaking, is freely given. It's on the website. People take it and do with it what they will. There have been people, and I've been bitten by this, there have been people that have taken our messages, and then again, they broke the number one rule. They tried to editorialize. They tried to explain it. They tried to interpret it in their own understanding rather than just let it be. You know, again, the Word of God that is given through the mouths of men will lead you to Christ. If it leads you away from repentance, if it leads you away from Jesus, if it leads you to the flesh, then run. Don't walk, run. Reject it. It doesn't matter whose mouth it's coming from, just reject it. You know, because every year, without fail, there's some self-proclaimed prophet somewhere insisting that this is either the year of their breakthrough, this is the year that it's going to all turn around, or this is the year that it's all going to end. You know, ever since, who was it? Harold. Poor Harold. He was looking for Jesus' coming until God just said, shut up, Harold, and give him a stroke, you know? You know, he's the one that sort of started this trend of every single year there has to be something. And Christians go about holding their breath from one date to the next rather than living out their faith. You know, I'm not looking for the end because the end will come whether I'm looking for it or not. I'm looking to live my life for Christ every single day as though it were the last day of my life here on earth. Because that's the only way that I can be effective for the kingdom of God. If I'm looking towards a far-off date and I start to calculate, well, I have so many days, I can take it a little easier, you know, or if I believe it's tomorrow, I start to panic, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I'm safe in God's embrace. I'm buried with Christ in God. That is the purpose of our walk. So everything else, yes, God speaks, yes, God warns, but it's not to scare us. If a message that you hear causes you to be fearful, it's not of God. If a message that you hear, however, leads you to repentance, then hallelujah, it is of God. So that's my take on that whole thing.
And you know what, folks? We're talking with Michael Boldea Jr., the grandson and translator, grandson of and translator for Dimitri Dudeman. His website, their website, Hand of Help Ministries. That's Hand of Help Ministries. It's linked off of our website, handofhelpministries.com. And you know one thing, Michael, I've noticed, I did notice, I've gone through the prophetic utterances of your grandfather and yours as well. And what you mentioned, very straightforward, very matter of fact, very messenger-like, as opposed to editorializing or in even extrapolating an interpretation. I mentioned that because there's a distinction there with the difference. But so I really appreciate that. But man, I'll tell you something, reading back through those and spending some time reading through that, it really awakened me. But thank you for that explanation, because I don't think I'm alone, and because people are really confused today, saying, "Well, who do I believe, and what do I believe, and who do I listen to?" And that's
well,
just
look, first and foremost, Jesus. Go to the Word of God. You know, the Word of God has enough in it for you to understand His love, to understand His grace, to understand His mercy, to understand the outline of the end times. If you only have time to do one of two things, listen to a prophetic word or read the Bible, read the Bible. I tell you this as somebody who runs a supposed prophetic ministry, because people think that we're a prophetic ministry. We're more than that. Again, we need to be complete believers, because there are a lot of Christians whose spiritual growth has been stunted because they focused only on the avenue of prophecy. Look, prophecy isn't all that there is. We need to form relationship with Jesus. We need to have a relationship with Christ. Prophecy is there so that you don't get surprised, so that you don't get shocked, so that you don't react as the world reacts when something happens, so that you look at it and say, yes, God is good, and He is gracious, and He's merciful, and He spoke to His children beforehand. And because He spoke to His children beforehand, I wasn't shocked or surprised. I didn't have that moment of a deer in the headlights. I reacted instinctively and immediately and led people to Jesus, because whether we like to admit it or not, in those moments of catastrophe, anybody that has a head on their shoulders and they're not panicking will lead the way. And so if you are in Christ, clothed in Christ, shrouded in Christ, and that happens, that moment comes where everything is chaos, the only thing that you need to do is point the way to Jesus, and I guarantee you, more people than not will seek Him out, because they will see the peace in you. They will see the joy in you. They will see the fact that you're not fearful like the rest of the world. I will not react like the world reacts to anything that is happening around me, because I'm a son of God. I will not react in fear. I will not react in doubt, because I know that He leads my steps. I know that I am under His protection. We need to understand who we are in God's eyes. I'm not like Bob Tilton. I am the apple of God's eye, and I can be an alcoholic and God will still love me. But God prizes us. He loves us. He loves us to the point that He sent His Son to die so that you and I may be reconciled unto Him. For us to think that He just dropped us here on the spinning rock and left us to fend for ourselves is foolishness. but we need to learn to hear his voice. Look, my hope, my biggest prayer, and I pray this almost every evening before I go to bed, Lord, make prophets or people that say they're prophets, but just make the gift of prophecy as far as somebody or a third party giving a word unnecessary in the church. Let every single individual hear your voice for themselves, because that would be a complete body. That would be an Acts church. If every believer that gathered together heard the voice of God, and when they all heard the voice of God, they'd hear the same thing, because God wouldn't contradict himself. God is not the author of confusion, because I've heard prophetic battles, as it were. One person giving a word and the other one giving another word, countermanding the word that the other guy gave. And I look at this and going, both of you are being used by the enemy, because God is not the author of confusion. God's true word will lead you back to Jesus. Prophecy will lead you back to Christ. And so if you have doubts about anyone, including myself or my grandfather, I'm not demanding that you believe. I'm asking and begging and beseeching you, turn to the Word of God, turn to Jesus, because in the end, that relationship that you forge with him today is far more important than you knowing and cataloging every single prophecy that's been given. Because if you have a relationship with him, you learn to trust him. Over the course of, 28 years now, I've learned to trust God implicitly. There have been dark moments, there have been dark days, there have been troublesome days, there have been trials, but throughout it all, I saw the hand of God, and because I saw the hand of God, my faith increased all the more, and so did my capacity to trust him. I'm at that point where if God says jump, I'll jump without even looking where I'm jumping, because I trust him, he is my father, he loves me, and I love him.
Amen. Michael, how do we get people who are in the church enthused or back into the scriptures? I see so many people today, even in and out of the church, that have this attention deficit mentality. It's been created by the instant, news and instant gratification culture that we have. How do we get people enthusiastic and back on fire for the Lord, even those of us who are in the church?
That's a loaded question, because the only thing that we can do, the only thing that is incumbent upon us as men to do, is preach the truth. It's the truth that has to stir them to action. And the amazing thing about the truth is that those that hear it will have a reaction to it, whether positive or negative. You cannot hear the truth and remain indifferent towards it. It's an impossibility. So either you will have an aversion towards the truth and walk away from it, or you will be drawn to the truth and desire to know more of it. So our duty, this is where the church has failed, in my opinion. We stopped preaching the truth. We thought that by preaching a diluted gospel, that by preaching a watered-down gospel, we would attract more people to the house of God, but we never took into account that the people that we attracted to the house of God were lukewarm to begin with, people who didn't want to change, who just wanted fire insurance, people who were so much phlegm in God's mouth to begin with. So we need to get back to the standard of preaching righteousness in the house of God. We need to get back to the standard of preaching holiness in the house of God. We need to have a standard again. How about that? I hate pointing out all the things that are wrong in the church, but a lot of people don't see it as wrong. They've been happening for so long that people don't go, okay, that's not biblical. Because so much that's happening in the church isn't biblical, that what's one more thing? So you have men who consider themselves the spiritual authorities of this nation, who have no business being in spiritual authority over anyone, because they don't meet the minimum criteria of what it is required to be a bishop, or to be a deacon, or to be an elder in the house of God. So you have compromised men who are laden down with sin, leading congregations of 20, 30, 10,000 people just because they look good in a suit, or they can wear skinny jeans, or because their messages, I'm not even going to call them sermons, their messages are so close to what Tony Robbins teaches that they spiritualized it a bit, and people respond to that. It's the flesh that responds to a message about self. It's the flesh that responds to a message about, well, God loves you, and he adores you, and he understands your frailty, and he'll hug you the way you are without requiring anything in return. I'm sorry, Jesus said, go and sin no more. So don't speak those last words. If you just say, well, hallelujah, you're saved, but go and sin no more is required in order for us to remain under the covering of God. And so the church needs to get back to preaching Jesus. It needs to get back to preaching righteousness. It needs to get back to preaching the whole gospel and not just those handful of verses that they like to talk about all the time, like the woman that made the pancake for the man of God first. Because, man, if you turn on Christian television, that's 90% of the sermons. The widow of Zarephath and how she made the pancake for the man of God first. You know, we've made it, we've monetized everything, we've merchandised everything. And we realize that once you build a beast, you have to feed the beast. And in order to feed the beast, you have to grow your ministry. And I'm using air quotes again. And in order to grow your ministry, you need to compromise the truth just a little more. I don't think a lot of these guys started out bad, but I think the pressure was to grow rather than remain faithful. And as they grew, they walked further and further away from the truth. They walked further and further away from the light. And now you have men calling themselves preachers or pastors or evangelists that have absolutely nothing in common with the Word of God, that have not mentioned the name Jesus in their sermons going on years now. So it's tragic. And the only hope for this nation is the church. The only hope for this nation is the people of God rising up and being lights once again. So if we fail in that, we're done for. There is no hope.
Amen. You're right.
We have about 8 minutes left until the top of the hour, Michael. And how about this? We are going to be meeting in Dallas for the Hear the Watchman conference coming up on the 18th, 19th, and 20th in Dallas. And for those of you who don't know, you can go to Help of Hand Ministries, you can go to HagmanandHagman.com, or you can go to Hear the Watchmen, HearTheWatchmen.com. Michael, do you have a topic of discussion ready that you know you're going to be talking about in Dallas?
I do. My brother Daniel, he's the one that takes care of everything. He's the logistics guy. I'm horrible at logistics. I'll be the first to say it. So he said they need a topic and they need it now. I went to my office. I prayed for 5 minutes, and the one thing that came, and it came clearly, is peace through the storm. And that's going to be my topic, because the storm is coming. It is imminent. It is something that is unavoidable, and the children of God need to have peace through it. And so my entire, I guess, soliloquy, if you want to call it, or sermon, is going to be about having peace through the storm and how we can do that. Because we're not supposed to react like the world, man. I'm seeing Christians that are more fearful of what the future holds than the world is. That's not supposed to be our position. Our position is supposed to be faith in Christ and overcoming through him. Now, if God speaks to you something personally that you should be doing, then do it, because God spoke it to you personally. A lot of people, and this is another issue that I have with the church today, a lot of people take a personal conviction and they try to make it a general law for everyone. And it's just tragic, because look, the Word of God has the foundation of what we're all supposed to be doing. Anything else beyond that is personal conviction, and your personal conviction may be very different than mine, but you're still my brother in Christ, because Jesus is Lord to both of us. He just asked something different of you than he did of me. So yeah, my message is going to be peace through the storm. And so, it's coming together in my heart and in my head. I don't know what it's going to be in the end, because I'm not one of those guys that does layouts or that writes out sermons in advance. I believe that in order to allow God to inspire, you need to allow God to inspire. So I'm going to be fasting and I'm going to be praying. I know some of the guys that are going to be there. I know Pastor Dave Langford. He's a good friend. And so those of you that are contemplating whether or not you should come, I do believe with all my heart that it will be worthwhile for you spiritually.
I got to tell you, Michael, just now, you and I have never spoke directly, but to hear you tonight on this broadcast, and folks, I hope you share this broadcast with others, because just just this hour, Michael Boldea, what he said, so relevant. But in addition to that, if you like what you hear, if you can hear the Holy Spirit inspired message, man, just listening to Michael and Pastor Lankford, that alone is worth the price of admission for Dallas. So make sure you hook up there. But I'm just so excited to have you on, and I'm so impressed with the delivery, the message, but the delivery helps. Thank you very much.
We have an email. This is from a JK. They go on to say about Michael Boldea, I love that man. I wish you would put his Rediscovering Christ on CDs. Would you please ask him to consider doing so? It is fabulous. Can you explain to the audience the audio part on your website, the Rediscovering Christ?
I spend a lot of time in Romania. Our ministry is basically on two continents, and so until our baby came, I have an 18-month-old daughter, so life has changed dramatically. But I used to spend about 6 months out of the year in Romania, and since back then there was no Skype, I used to record teachings on one of these digital recorders, and then I used to bring the digital files back to the U.S., and they got uploaded to the website. Rediscovering Christ is basically 15, 20-minute teachings on the person of Jesus. He is the central figure of humanity, of history, of the universe. He is the Christ. And so we can go all of our lives continually rediscovering him, I believe. There is no shortage to Jesus. And the more you get to know him, the more in love you fall. It's just tremendous for me. I'm one of those people that gets easily distracted. And I've started a lot of things that I didn't finish. Jesus was always one of those things that I stuck to, because he always intrigued me, and because I know with all of my heart, without doubt or equivocation, that he is the Son of God. He came, he died, he rose again, he's forgiven my sins, I'm made new and clean through him and in him, and there is nothing more than Jesus. So that's what the Rediscovering Christ was. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked again.
Oh, no, not at all. I do appreciate that. I have not had the opportunity, or have not listened to them yet, but seeing them on the website and then seeing the emails that have been coming in about the messages, I do plan on going and listening to them. And I hope all our listeners would check those out at handofhelp.com. That's handofhelp.com, Mr. Boldea's website. And bookmark that website and check out the audio content. And you also have other content as far as the writings of Dimitri Duneman. You have current projects and teachings that you have ongoing here in the Dreams and Visions sections. And there's also links to their social media sites, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, etc. And again, Mr. Boldea will be a speaker at the Hear the Watchman Conference in Dallas coming up March 18th through the 20th. This March, just in 2 months from today, will be the final day of the conference.
That's right.
Wow, that close.
Yeah, it just kind of creeps up on you. So
I got to buy some fresh shoes.
And we love this because, folks, talk about insight into the conference. And just, I mean, this is, to me, this is one of the most inspiring hours that I've spent in a long time, and I mean inspiring. It stirs my spirit and speaks to me directly. Now, on the other side of the top of the hour break, Michael, if we could, I'd just love to get into your, well, the combination, if you don't mind, of what your grandfather had seen for this country. And you had alluded to this earlier. Very powerful, because right now I think we, and Joe and I were talking about this earlier, and Eric too, Eric Ortek, and even JD, I mean, all of us in Rhonda, we're saying, you know, we're at a hinge moment in time, at a hinge point. And I really, you know, you're having the blessings, or having the, having seen what your grandfather talked about and what he had seen and what you have seen, maybe you could paint for us a picture of where we're at now and perhaps what you see coming, if that's okay with you.
That's
or any other
direction. Fine.
All right.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back on the other side with Michael Bodea, the website, handofhelp.com. He is the grandson and interpreter of Dmitry Duneman. We'll be back with hour number two right on the other side of the Hagman & Hagman Report on this Wednesday, January 20th, 2016. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.